joining us in a studio. And we're going to be talking about the Synthesis Hackathon. We're going to do that straight after the 8:30 news headlines. But now that we have you here, Jake, it's always good to have a technical person here, because maybe you can advise us around this whole thing. Had you heard of this Tesla bloke?
Morning, Howard.
Good morning.
I actually hadn't. Right. So I was when you told me that he had passed away, I looked at you quite incredulously, like, who the hell's Larry Tesla?
Earth is he? Okay. So he's a computer scientist. Yeah. Died at the age of 74, he invented
cut and paste.
And
so when you told me that, my gut feel was like, so what? What's the big deal?
I know, we were so offended by
and,
that.
And what it actually is a big deal. And I think what I saw in myself in that moment was the hindsight bias, where psychologically all of us, when we see things retroactively, it seemed almost obvious that that was going to be it. But if you had been at the time and you had actually been in the situation at the time, it wouldn't have been obvious at all. And in Larry Tesla's case, really, he was trying to, I suppose, create word processors, which were coming out of the model that we were using then was typewriters. And it's almost ludicrous to think that you're going to cut and paste a typewritten.
Yeah, because think about what was happening at the time. Exactly. You'd have your typewriter, and you'd be typing on a piece of paper, and then if something went wrong.
At best, you got the Tippex.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then you'd just retype over. So it wasn't obvious from the model that he was trying to use, the existing model of a typewriter in producing word processors. It wasn't obvious at all. And it was actually quite innovative. And I think he got his inspiration in the research that I did now, got his inspiration from like typesetting that they used to do where they'd actually movable type that they'd actually put somewhere and they'd take from one place to another.
So it's almost from the physical world.
Again, it was inspiration from the physical world, but it was joining together with another inspiration from the physical world, which is the typewriter, and realizing that actually in order to make computers really easy to use by the common man,
right,
you needed to actually pull together a whole bunch of different tools that really made typesetting, if you want to call it that, in word processors, so much more easier than it had been up until then with all the physical devices.
And replace actually is already another level.
That's at a different level already.
Because it's now being able to.
That didn't exist in the physical world really at all.
Yes, to identify those words in a document and change them over, I think must have been incredibly innovative at the time.
Yeah, so it's in other words, yes, it's obvious to us today. We've grown up with it and we've seen it and we've seen its use. But I think that's all inventions. All inventions in hindsight look a lot more obvious than they did at the time. And I think one needs to not fall into the trap of hindsight bias and actually celebrate those people who saw the future in a future which looks now obvious.
We've been talking to you about the Synthesis Hackathon. Chai FM and Synthesis are getting together. We're going to be, in fact, broadcasting live on the 6th. Is it the 5th or the 6th? It's Friday, 2 weeks from today. We're going to be doing broadcasting live from Synthesis's offices. And that is where the hackathon is taking place. Now, the hackathon is going to be focused on two areas. One of them will be a technical area for the company. And the other side of it is focused on gender-based violence. All right, but before we even start talking about that, we need to understand what a hackathon is, because I have a funny feeling that most of us have absolutely no idea. Jake Shepherd, he's a founder and a director at Synthesis. Good morning. Welcome back.
Morning. Thanks, Alan.
All right, so what is a hackathon?
So the way I would try and express what a hackathon is, it's almost trying to have solutions and trying to rapidly implement them using something what they call minimum viable product. You're trying to find out what's really important, what's the essence of that thing, and trying to produce it.
Right.
But it's actually maybe a broader way of looking at it. It's the real world speeded up tenfold. In other words, what you're trying to do is you're trying to mimic a real world process that you would go through in terms of producing a solution. And trying to compress the time that you've got in order to do it in an incredibly short time frame, often as short as 48 hours, sometimes even shorter than that.
Right, this is one I think is 24 hours.
Yeah, and trying to actually put as much as you can in a very short time span. And what that's then going to do is try and recreate almost the full life cycle of a real world development, but within a very short space of time. And that actually is maybe what I would call like the essence of what you're trying to achieve in a hackathon. And hackathons have been quite popular, but I think in many respects they're misunderstood.
Well, before I got involved with anything, I thought a hackathon was a way to test company cybersecurity.
In terms of playing on the word hack, it's actually got nothing to do with the
word. In my literal brain, yes. If you're hacking and it's a hackathon,
sure.
Then it would be maybe people get together to test.
And I think that's almost like a very specific meaning of hackathon, as in intrusion.
Right.
But really, I think hackathon in this sense is almost just taking all those pieces around you, chopping off other pieces, putting them together and coming up with something else. It's really hacking together
solution. It is. And within a very short period. So this one's 24 hours, but it can be 48 hours, but it runs through the night.
Sleep deprivation is actually part of the whole journey.
Really?
And it's something that you actually want as part of it because it focuses the mind. When you get tired, it actually focuses you. So it is part of, I would say, the upside in terms of what you actually get in a hackathon as well. So it's almost by design, hackathons or sleep deprivation sort of initiatives.
That's so interesting.
Thank goodness we'll only be broadcasting there.
We don't need to be there through the night. So, but is it only for technical people?
So no. So hackathons really, because it's the real world in miniature and speed it up. Mm. In any sort of a real world initiative, you need marketers. You need people who are going to present the solution. You need the people who are going to actually think about, how does this impact the broader society? So you need those idea people. You need those visionaries. You need people who are going to, like, let's say, project manage, divide up this massive task that you've got ahead of you and try and divide it up into smaller pieces. And that in the real world, your project managers typically play your team leads.
So it's a microcosm
of the real world. So really everyone has a place to play in any sort of a hackathon team. And you don't want a whole bunch of coders only in a team because that's going to make you very strong on the coding side. But in terms of the presentation of the idea, which is a huge part of what you're trying to achieve or what in terms of trying to win the hackathon, you're lacking in that side of things. You need the people who are going to be able to stand up in front of an audience and entertain with the idea and engage and persuade that why this idea is the best
idea. So there are winners and there are teams.
And they're teams, sure.
And what's the traditional size of a team?
Well, it depends. I mean, I think anything bigger than six people is getting too big. So you typically find you can have teams as small as three or four people. Mm. But if it starts getting bigger than six people, it becomes
hard to manage.
Unwieldy. And also there's a whole concept of communication dynamics. Fred Brooks talked about the mythical man month. And when you're developing software, you would think it's like similar to digging a trench. So if one person takes a day to dig 1 meter trench, 100 people take 1 day to dig 100 meter trench. And can't we just do the same thing with software? And you actually can't. And the reason that he pointed out is the communication dynamics. Mm-hmm. You actually have more, you've got two people, you've got one communication channel. You've got three people, you've got three communication channels, four people.
Right.
And it starts coming up exponentially. So really what you don't need the communication channel breakdown to hamper what you're trying to achieve in a very short period of time. So there's that aspect. But what I would like to just try and get back to is, like, a lot of companies use hackathons, but it's quite useful to understand what they're not for as well as what they are for. So some people use hackathons almost as the innovation center for the company. We're going to use this to come up with all of our great ideas.
So we gather together, we focus, and then
all of our initiatives are going to come out of the hackathon. And I think that's a very... it's an unrealistic expectation of what you're trying to achieve. Because really, in order to really have innovation, you need like multiple disciplines coming together to solve a difficult problem. And you need a culture where innovation can thrive, a low power distance culture, which we've discussed before. And effectively, the hackathon isn't going to really give you that. It's also, people think of it as a way to remedy company culture. the problems in company culture, because we have this cool thing called the hackathon, and now all of a sudden our culture's right. And actually it doesn't, because it might be for those 1 or 2 days, culture's great, but then everyone has to go back to the workplace. Mm. The traditional culture doesn't really fix company culture.
And I would
culture.
Imagine as well is if people can't communicate outside of the hackathon, put them together for 24, 48 hours, and you might get a sense of exactly what is going wrong.
Yeah, and I think, so. And it's also some people think, oh, after this hackathon weekend, we're going to have a whole bunch of new products sell on to clients. And again, I think that's very short-sighted in terms of what
it's interesting. Melinda says, I had Howard's understanding of a hackathon, testing website security. There are people who are paid to break into websites, etc. So it's quite a funny thing.
And maybe it's just an unfortunate use of the word hackathon.
Yes.
But
yes.
I think just in the broader sense, if I had to look at what the advantages are of a hackathon, and there are many advantages, the one is actually just team building and networking. Mm-hmm. You've got people who are spread throughout a massive organization who hardly ever get an opportunity to work together, being thrown together, and oftentimes you're randomizing the groups. So you're be forcing people from different areas of the company to work together, and that actually is an amazing networking effect. Within the organization.
Yes. So as you say, it forces people to work together when they perhaps aren't used to doing that. It is 8:43. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 High FM. I'm chatting to Jake Shepherd. He's a founder and a director at Synthesis. We're talking about hackathons in general, what they are, how they work, what they manage to achieve. And when we come back, we're also going to be trying to understand what they hope to be achieving in the hackathon that is taking place in 2 weeks' time. Time is 8:44. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 High FM, chatting to Jake Shepherd from Synthesis. All right, so we understand now what a hackathon is. Oh, before we carry on, how do you win a hackathon? That's the one question that we haven't answered.
Yeah, so I think really you're striving for balance because at the end of the day, you're trying to actually have the balance between the execution, the idea and the originality of the idea, together with elegance, beauty and usability. And also you need to be able to, I suppose, the concept of vaporware, there's a lot that you don't have. So you're trying to sell a vision. So from the presentation becomes incredibly important, selling the vision of what you're trying
because
to achieve
you're never going
and balancing
to,
that with what you actually have managed to
right,
do.
Right, I was just going to say, you're never going to have completely completed a product build within a 24-hour period.
Definitely not. I don't think I've ever seen a complete product build unless it's been a very, very modest vision that you're trying to achieve.
Right.
But really, those hackathons that
win ambitious.
Are the ambitious ones.
Right,
the
exactly.
ones that really that have a massive vision, and almost by definition, that's going to be massive work, and you're not going to do that in a very short period of time.
Okay. So one of the focuses on at this hackathon that's coming up is solving an issue around gender-based violence. And one of the things that I've discussed many times on the show is that we've seen in South Africa, and it's becoming a trend around the world, that governments very rarely solve our problems for us. These things exist in a social context. Obviously, if certain things were in place, better. If perhaps ease of reporting around rape and abuse, etc., and people had more faith in the police systems, obviously things wouldn't be quite as bad as they are. But the reality is we can't rely on government. And if we look at what happened in Parliament this week where gender-based violence was used as a political football and parties abused each other around gender-based violence, it's very clear how seriously they are not taking it. Parliament didn't take it seriously. It's very clear that as society and as business, as commerce, we need to try and find solutions. And one of the things that Synthesis is saying is that we want to get our teams together and we want to see if we can come up with a couple of ideas that might lead us towards not solving this problem, but at least contributing positively towards it. What Synthesis did was partner with Chai FM, who's going to be broadcasting from the hackathon, and are offering listeners a 5,000 rand reward for an idea that gets used by one of the teams at the hackathon. So, in fact, Zanati off air was telling us about an idea that she had. Zanati, tell us this idea. Well, so if Zanati would, I mean, she's unfortunately not allowed to win the prize.
Even though I need that money.
Even though she needs the money, she can't win the prize. But if her idea was accepted by one of the teams to run with it, she would, she could potentially win that 5,000 rand. And then the teams would run with her idea. For example, your idea being?
So there's this Bible app where basically it sends you quotes every morning. So I was thinking an app that sends you quotes, you know, on educating people about gender-based violence. For example, when it comes to consent, it would send like a quirky short quote every morning that if she does this, that's not consent, or if she's allowed to change her mind. And just because she said she wanted it, it doesn't mean that she wants it now. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, just quirky ideas.
Exactly.
And keep reinforcing education.
Yeah,
So that's just one idea.
Yeah.
We're hoping that our listeners, in fact, and I believe they have started coming through, some interesting ideas, info@chaifm.com. That's where you'll be sending those ideas. And then we will present, those to Synthesis to see, if they have an uptake on those.
Yeah. So, and I think this is really important, the whole concept of social, it's a responsibility within workplaces. And I think it's actually got an incredibly deep psychological underpinning. So if you actually try and answer the question, well, why do people work? So the cynic, like managers will say, well, people are lazy. They're just working for the salary at the end of the month, and you have to like micromanage them and ensure that they're productive, etc. That's actually missing the mark totally. And all of us have, as a very deep-seated psychological need, the need to do something challenging and the need for it to be useful to other people. And that is at our very core. Mm. It's almost the...
It's man's search for meaning.
It's a psychological bread, as opposed to the physiological bread that we need in order to actually inspire us and actually motivate us in the workforce. And all of us bring that to the workforce, and really we shouldn't squander that. And I think we actually need to embrace that, because that's an incredibly powerful motivating force that people bring to the party in any workforce. And I think what hackathons do, and specifically when you're trying to solve the big social problems that we're faced with, it actually basically says, all right, let's start dreaming, and let's start dreaming big. Because that's also muscle that needs to be, it needs to be exercised. And then also, well, how can what we do make a massive impact on the society within which we live? And that is incredibly fulfilling. So you need, it's almost, this is almost a wellspring of inspiration and that can actually uplift people. So let's use that. And let's embrace something the gender-based violence problem. And can we use technology, or how could we use it in such a way, maybe not to solve it, but maybe to alleviate, maybe to make some sort of a social contribution. Mm. And that actually taps into everyone's deep-seated need in the workplace anyway. And just basically recognizing that is very powerful.
And what's interesting here as well is you're taking people that are quite brilliant in many in many instances, people that are involved in tech and think completely differently to other people. But sometimes these worlds don't come together. So you might have somebody, let's say, in media talking about gender-based violence, but they don't have the side of the brain that assists to say, well, hold on, how about this as a technical, as an innovative solution? And you might have somebody who is unbelievably talented at software development, but never really stopped to think, well, hold on, maybe within me is the ability to try and solve this.
And I think you're putting your finger on a really important concept. When we talk about diversity, when we understand that that really should include the whole concept of diversity of thought, that different people think differently, different people have different perspectives on the world. And when you tap into that diversity of thought, that diversity of, let's say, background and what the real problems are, you can get and you allow people to surface their ideas, and you actually then address each of those ideas on their merit. You can come up with some amazing, innovative, groundbreaking ideas that you can then say, all right, here's the idea. Resonates maybe with the techie who never thought about it, but he's got his world's view and world perspective and how he could actually bring what he knows about the world to trying to solve that. And it's really, that's why the most effective, let's say, teams are those that actually bring a whole bunch of
disciplines
together.
Really, really incredible. I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 061-895-1019. We're also going to open it up to one or two listeners to be able to come to the hackathon. And if you are interested in doing that, please let us know. We don't have a lot of space, obviously, because it is a working environment. But if you are interested in seeing how these type of things work, you can let us know on 34519 or 061-895-1019. But what we would absolutely love from you are your ideas. So Zanati's given a very, very simple idea in terms of educating people. Create something that people are getting information on an ongoing basis. I had another thought that I'm hoping one of the teams will work with, and that is we live in these areas where we have a tremendous amount of security guards. They're complexes, there's buildings, there's a lot of security guards. And my thought is, what happens if we created safe zones in those areas? And women particularly, if they're walking in the street or they're running, if it's a domestic worker going to work, or a nurse or somebody just walking to work, etc., and they're feeling a little bit concerned, all they need to do is look to see where they're walking, where the closest safe zone is, to be able to go there. That's a very simple idea that brings tech as well as reality in our environment together. So these are the types of ideas that we are looking for from you. We'd love to hear from you as well. You don't need to give your ideas now, but we do want you to email them at info@chaifm.com. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning. Jake, your experience around these hackathons?
Yeah, so I mean, hackathons are an amazing tool which we can use to grow needed and valuable skills, because they actually make you force you to focus on actually what's important. What does the client want? What does society need? And then how do I explain it, showcase it, and make it tangible, make it real to the world? And then you basically really need to say, well, what is the process of making ideas real? Because ideas, if there's a process to that, and we're actually exercising that. And then the hackathons become really a charging station for innovation and inspiration. And that is really important. And then I think the last thing really is, this organizations that use hackathons need to realize that they're only really effective when coupled with the broader company culture that recognizes, encourages, and rewards the behavior nurtured at the hackathon.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Certainly, we'll be talking more about that as we head closer to the hackathon. But in the meantime, you know what you have to do. Go ahead and do that. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. A Shabbat Shalom, even though we are talking tech, disconnect from things technological, reconnect to things that are important. Be kind to everybody around you, and mostly be kind to yourself. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.